Jesus goes, no, this is not it. This is, doesn't happen like this. Put your sword away, heals the ear. In that moment, Judas realizes everything he understood of Jesus, the revelation that he thought he had of him, is just falling to the ground. Think about it. In one moment, taken away. So you've got Peter on the one hand going, you're the Messiah, you're the King, you're going to die for our salvation. You've got Judas on the other side of the coin going, oh my hat, I am in trouble. Everything I thought Jesus was is not the revelation that I thought he was. And let me just read a scripture just to you. Mark 14:47-50. Then one of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Jesus says, am I leading a rebellion? Think about this. Now, Judas is going, oh, my hat. He's just got hit with a sledgehammer. That you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me. Every day I was with you teaching in the temple courts, and yet you did not arrest me. But as the scriptures must be fulfilled, and he goes on. So Judas and Peter, in a sense, because of the understanding of God, respond with their hearts differently. So the tricky thing for us is this, that we have different theologies in a sense. We see God differently because of our upbringing, because of the way we read the Bible, because of the people we listen to on podcasts or YouTube channel or whatever. And can I submit this to us as a congregation? We could be on very dangerous ground if we don't have the right revelation of who God really is and what he's wanting to do. And we could. That's why I'm feeling like this word is for each and every one of us between us and God. We could have positioned our hearts differently in a way not to receive God because of bad theology or because of misunderstanding. And so we see two different responses. We see Judas turns inwardly towards himself, and he turns to people and religion and the temple for forgiveness. And you might be going, well, why do you say that? I'll clarify that just now. And you see Peter, on the other hand, he turns outwardly and towards the Lord. And you see very different heart strategies here. Because the one has a revelation of who the Messiah really is, and one doesn't. Does it make sense? Have I lost you? And so, let's say this. Judas lets his sin crush him and runs away from God. And he ran away from God. He let his sin crush him. So, let me bring in perspective. So Matthew 27:1-5, let me read it. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders and the people made their plans to have Jesus executed. So they bound him, led him away bound before Pilate the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. And he says to them, I have sinned, he said. I have betrayed innocent blood. So you can just see it's just all coming in. I'm like, oh my hat, Jesus that I thought he was going to take him by the sword. I thought he was going to rule. All of those things just unraveling. He's coming to this. I betrayed innocent blood. And then they say, what is that to us? They replied, that is your responsibility. Verse 5, and then Judas threw the money in the temple and left, and he went out and hung himself. And so you see Judas allowing the sin to crush him to the place where he goes inward. He doesn't go to God for mercy or grace or peace. It's just this crazy thing. It's that condemnation that the devil can use in every one of us, actually. And I was saying in the prayer meeting, there's a difference between conviction and condemnation. And this is condemnation. He goes and kills himself. Goes and commits suicide. But we need to realize something about the heart. The Bible says the heart is the most sinful thing of all. And it's the little things we do over time that allows us to get to the place where our heart allows sin to crush us. And I want to just, John 12:5-7. There's a story about this lady coming with perfume, and it's really expensive perfume. And Judas actually gets cross. Let me read it for us. It says in verse 5 of John 12, it says, why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? Is it not worth a year's wages? So this is like high quality perfume, like a year's wages. And he's very angry because he's going, hey, these things would be given to the poor. And the Bible says, he did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As the keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself for what was put into it. And then Jesus said, leave her alone. Jesus replied, it was intended that she should, It was intended that she should save the perverse for the day of the Lord. And I think little things crept into Judas's heart over time. And he positioned his heart over and over and over and over again because he was looking inward. He was taking for himself. He wasn't pushing towards the Lord. And when that moment came, that big thing, and he realized his whole theology fell to the ground, crushed him, and he was lost. Crazy, hey? It's just like crazy. Peter, on the other hand, he let his sins convict him. And he ran towards the Lord. I want to read Luke 22, 61 and 62. Just think Peter. He loves Jesus. He's one of Jesus' closest disciples. He's just said, just a few months, even if everyone else gives you up, I'll never give you up. Think about this. Luke 22, 61 and 62. The Lord turned to him and looked straight at Peter. And Peter remembered the words the Lord had spoken to him before the rooster crows today. You will disown me three times. Verse 62. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Just imagine. Just imagine. Like, all Jesus did was just look at him. I don't know how he looked at him. It probably wasn't with anger. It was probably with love and peace and... And Peter looked at him and just went, oh my head, I just did the very thing that I said I wouldn't do. So even though Judas betrayed him, Peter denied him, did the same thing. It's the same thing. And Peter goes out and weeps bitterly. But the difference here is conviction. There's at least three scriptures I found, Mark 16:7, Matthew 26:32. Matthew 28:10, that Jesus tells his disciples, even as they broke bread, that last, he said, go to Galilee, wait for me. When I'm alive again, I'll meet you there. So a lot of guys, a lot of theologians are actually saying that Peter actually backslid and then he was found on the beach and then Jesus came and he swam to Jesus. I don't think that's the case. He actually went back to Galilee. He went towards where God said he would be. Quite something. And so, yes, he goes out and he weeps bitterly and he realizes he messes it up. But he goes to the place that Jesus said. And then John 21:7. It's beautiful. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Let's get context. They've just been fishing all night. They haven't caught anything. A man comes on the beach and he says, hey, just go out a little bit further and just cast your net on the other side of the boat. They catch this big, the Bible says, this massive thing that they couldn't even bring it in. Then the disciple who Jesus loved, or the one who I think is John, says, Peter, that's the Lord. Peter then goes, it's awesome. As soon as Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garments around himself and he threw himself into the water and he swam to Jesus. Unbelievable. From the last time he saw Jesus weeping bitterly, just knowing that he wrecked, he goes and he turns his heart outward. He responds to God in a different way, in conviction. He goes to the very place that Jesus told him to be. He's waiting. They're fishing again. They're making a livelihood. And he sees Jesus and he swims to him literally. And then you have this amazing encounter in John 21:15-17. And when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time, can you see what's happening here? He denied him three times. Jesus is reinstating him 3 times. Beautiful. It's like he's completing, he's totally restoring him. The 3rd time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt, interesting enough, because Jesus asked him the 3rd time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Beautiful. And so Peter let his sin convict him, in a sense. And he turned his heart towards God, and God reinstated him. And the church, as we know it, in a sense, today, is built on the rock, whose name is Peter. And it's not saying that Peter is the rock. Jesus is the rock. Peter's name means rock in Aramaic. Beautiful. And so, as I end, the question I feel the Lord is asking all of us is, where is your heart? And where have you positioned your heart? It's an important question. And what are the little things in the secret place that have you put in your heart to either allow you to, and you're going to have, we're going to all have cracks in our lives. We're all going to get to the place one day where we stump by what God's doing because he wants to prune, he wants to do some cool stuff in us, he wants to draw us close. In those moments, could I say, have you been putting in good things and positioning your heart towards God continuously that in that big moment you can stand firm on who God is in your life? Or are we putting in the little things that are going to damage us desperately and seriously when that moment comes? I don't know if I've lost you or if it's just glory. Because I asked for glory. See, in Ezekiel 36, 26, and 28, we read it last week, and I want to bring it in as I finish this. God says, I will give you a brand new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And then it says this, and then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. Beautiful scripture. And I wanted to bring that in from last week because that's kind of where God left us last week going, I want to create a new heart in you. The cool thing about it is even with Peter, Peter didn't create a new heart. Jesus created a new heart. When he reinstated him, do you love me? Do you love me? He was actually creating a new heart. He's putting his heart together. It's beautiful. Do you know that that's what God wants for you and for me? For his whole church. Because if we don't have soft hearts towards him, man, we're not going to go anywhere. We're just going to go in circles the whole time. And then I want to end with this last scripture from Revelation. I think it also came up last week. Revelation 3:20. And if I can ask the worship team to come up so long, that'd be amazing. See, God says with his own voice, says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. That's quite something. The God of creation, the God who owns everything, the God that sustains everything, the God is that is everything, is standing at the door of our hearts knocking. That's quite something. It says that anyone who hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they will be with me. God's knocking on our hearts tonight. There's more. For us as a congregation, there is. There's more for us as Josh Jen. There's more for your family in this community and in schools and in the shopping center. There's more. This isn't it. This is just scraping the beginnings of what I believe and what we believe God wants to do amongst us. But it comes down to this thing, how our hearts positioned towards him. You can stop playing, so it's not awkward. Thanks. So I want to pray for us, and I want to go into a time of worship now. Time of reflection, maybe. And that's what I was thinking the Lord wants us to do. I don't want to drop this thing on us, and then we leave. And then we're like, what the fluff is going on? I really want this to be a time of reflection for us. Maybe we can, if you want to lie on the floor there, you can do that. If you want to sit, and you can do that. If you want to stand in the front, whatever you feel you want to do in just connection with the Lord, please do that. Have the freedom to do that. But I really feel like God wants us to be Peters today, not Judases. I really do. So I want to pray for us. And I know this is the work of the Spirit. I mean, I can't do this stuff in us. None of us can. And let's just see what the Holy Spirit does. We'll just be open to how He leads us and stuff. Lord, we want to just say, we're here for You tonight. We're here to just give our hearts over to You again, Lord, to maybe even reposition our hearts, just to turn them towards You, Father God. Lord, we want the more that You're calling us into. But Lord, we know that Your word says that comes out of the secret place. Lord, we don't want to play church. We don't want to play religion. We don't want to be pew warmers, Lord. We want to be men and women that are actively shining You to people around us, God. Lord, I want to stand on that promise. I will give You a new heart. I will create in You a new heart, a heart of flesh and not of stone. Lord, I want to, in a sense, claim like You're knocking on the doors of our hearts tonight. And whoever opens up, You will come in and eat with them. Lord, I pray right now by Your Spirit and by Your Spirit's power that there will be an opening of our hearts towards You, Lord, whatever that means. And that's a scary thing. I know that means we can lose everything that we want. We can lose our comfort. We can lose our wants. We can lose our future in the sense of how we want to go and what we want to do. We can lose our dignity in the sense of becoming more undignified, like David dancing before the Lord. Lord, there's so many things that could go wrong in our minds if we open our hearts to You. But Lord, will You show us tonight by Your Spirit and as we worship together that those things are worth it if we get You? I feel like for those who amongst us feel like your time is over and you've messed it up to the point that you can't live in what God wants you to live. I feel like the Lord is saying, like, the time is not over. Just position your heart and go to Galilee in the sense. Wait for the Lord. Wait for Him to come to that shore. Wait for you to see Him and swim to Him, basically. So we're going to worship the Lord together in song, or however you want to. And I'm just going to be led by the Spirit and just see what He says.